Welcome to the podcast, Old Friends and New, put on by the Christ Church Ladies Fellowship here in Moscow, Idaho for the Bible Reading Challenge. My name is Catherine Church, and I am filling in for Christine Lamaro. We are currently on week 7 of the challenge. We're reading through Numbers and Corinthians right now, and if you are just hearing about it, we would love for you to jump in and join us. And that's been the idea from the get-go, that if you miss a day's reading, you just jump back in on the next day. Similar to eating food, which is the reason behind hashtag keep the feast, that if you were to miss a meal, you don't compound it by missing the next 3 meals. No, you jump in and you eat breakfast the next day and you just keep on going. And to talk to us about that today, we have Lindsay Doolin, Corinne Reagan, and Meredith Wilson. Lindsay came to Moscow a little while back for New St. Andrews. She works for a local data company and has adorable nieces and nephews. Meredith Wilson has been married to her husband, Gordon, who is behind the riot and the dance, if you have seen that. And if you haven't, I highly recommend it. They have 4 kids and 8 grandkids and love to get outdoors and hike. And Corinne Reagan and her husband, Mark, they just moved back to Moscow after being gone for 8 years. They're involved with the music at the church and at the NSA Music Conservatory and children's classes, so already back and busy. And I'll let these 3 ladies talk to you about the Bible Reading Challenge.
Okay.
We're live.
I hope we're live. Good morning, everybody. I am Meredith Wilson, and with me are Lindsay Doolin and Corinne Reagan.
Welcome. Yeah, this is my house.
Yes.
Thank you, Corinne.
You can see the white window behind you.
It's fun, because I have known Lindsay for a long time and Corinne for a long time, and
yes.
You've just come back.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, it's very fun. You've been here for a few months, and you've lived here how long?
13 years.
We've all been here for a while. Anyway, so this week, Numbers and Corinthians. Very fun.
Yes.
How's it been going this week with you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I was called Corinthians for a nickname as a kid. My name is Corinne.
You shouldn't have told us this.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
But I was just telling Meredith that this year has been really hard for me with the Bible challenge. So if that's you, I'm very glad you're with us still, and we've just had a lot of changes. So we moved here, my husband started a new job, I started a new job, my kids started 2 different new schools, I started homeschooling, then I got pregnant, and then I had a miscarriage. So we've had a lot going on between July and now, and that has meant I haven't done all the reading. Basically, I've just been keeping up as I can.
Keep up as you can.
For example, this week I just read Corinthians.
Good.
That's what I did.
Great.
So, but here's what I did notice, because this is my 3rd year doing the Bible challenge. It doesn't feel so unfamiliar to me that we're going through Numbers and people are saying, "Hey, what about this? And look at this interesting thing." It's still kind of fresh in my mind. So, I think I'm reaping the benefits of having done it for a longer period of time. So when I'm in kind of, nothing's normal right now for us. When I'm in that time, the scripture is still there. I can meditate on it and I can kind of keep up, just jump back in when I can. And it doesn't feel like I'm just missing everything. It kind of feels like I'm still in the train, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I love that if you're reading with us today, you're not behind. Jump in where you are.
Yep.
No pressure. You haven't failed.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I like that too.
And the other thing I noticed the 3rd year is, you know, my husband and I read our Bibles most of the time in our marriage. You know, 3 or 4 chapters. But there's times where you'd have too much busyness and you wouldn't get back to it for a while. But I noticed, like, this 3rd year, 6 chapters is getting easier and easier to just plow through. And I love that. And like you said, it's familiar. Mm-hmm. And when you're going through a hard time, things pop up in your head. And it's just been really, really good.
Yeah.
How about you, Lindsay?
What you said just made me think. It's like learning to do this is like training a muscle. So if you've never read this much before at one time, it's like, man, this is really hard. Like, I can't even pick up 1 chapter. It's really heavy.
Yeah.
Leviticus are so long.
Yeah, Leviticus, like, we're talking, like, 50-pound little weights, not just, like, the 5-pound, like, 1 Corinthians.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Kind of manageable.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a great thing to train yourself into, and it's embrace the discouragement, I guess. Like, if this is your first year and it's hard going, It's okay. It's like your first week at the gym, stick it out.
That's such a good,
it's really,
new habit, right?
Yeah. And it's really important for a lifetime. And somewhere Paul says that, physical training is of some benefit, but, godliness is training for a lifetime and beyond.
Yes.
So
yeah,
this is more important than your gym habit.
That is true. And along with that, sometimes we get bogged down with genealogies or the law or the tabernacle, and all scripture is inspired by God and profitable. So even the numbers, even the genealogies, even those things. And what's remarkable, I know when we get to Kings, it was a year ago, I started noticing they tell you everybody who their mother was.
Right.
You know, who their mother was. I was like, why are they telling me who their mother was? But then you start to notice, oh, these guys are kind of related. Or you start drawing connections. Mm-hmm. It becomes more familiar.
Yes.
And it's just, it's really fun.
Yeah.
But specifically, any favorite things that popped out this time? Numbers, Balaam.
Such a great story. I love that one.
It is. And the one thing I was going to say about Balaam, tomorrow we read Corinthians 10. And that actually refers back to Balaam. It does. So we have Balaam. And right after Balaam does not curse the Israelites, you notice that all of a sudden, the next time the Israelites are falling into immorality, sexual immorality, and 24,000 of them die. Okay, the next time. Well, Balaam is connected to that. Even though he doesn't curse them, you'll find many places in Scripture where he's connected. And Paul talks about this in... Okay, 1 Corinthians 10, for I want you to know, let me skip that part to go a little farther. Okay, now these things took place as examples to us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 of them fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did. And he goes on about the other grumbling. And that doesn't specifically mention Balaam, but it does at the end of 2 Peter 2:15, it says, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing. So he loved gain, and that is, and also in Jude, it says, where is it? I marked it. It says, woe to them, for they have walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. And then in Ephesians, where's my Ephesians 1? It is, I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So even though it doesn't say in that one passage where Balaam caused the Israelites to sin, we know that he did from the New Testament. And
that's what I loved about reading Hebrews the same time as Leviticus.
You're
because
right.
sometimes you go, what is this for? I don't quite get what's happening here. Or even, I think someone asked a question about Balaam maybe yesterday in the Bible reading challenge. Like, what's going on? Like, what exactly did he do wrong?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, grab those cross references and just really look, what does the rest of the Bible say about it? Because it might either shed light or even give us a take we weren't expecting.
You can even go to Bible Gateway and just put in Balaam, and all the verses with Balaam will come up. That's what I did this morning, because I knew they were there somewhere. I just didn't know where.
Nice.
And another great help is Bible Hub. You have commentaries and all this stuff that is just fun. When you hit something, you're going, this is a little weird. Why don't I get... Or like the test for the adulterous woman with her thigh, you know, bloating. Do you remember that? We just read that a little bit ago. You're going, that is weird.
Strange.
Yeah, strange. Yeah. But,
right,
all good. Let's see, anybody else have anything that...
I thought that was, the cross-referencing was really helpful. I did the same thing last night.
Okay.
I just looked up Matthew Henry's commentary on this chapter, or these couple chapters, the Balaam chapters, in Numbers, because that is kind of a disturbing story just if you read it at face value, because it's like God tells Balaam to go and then Balaam gets in trouble for going.
For going.
But the two verses that you referenced, Matthew Henry also referenced, pointing out that God knew Balaam's heart. Balaam knew Balaam's heart.
Right.
And Balaam was actually just greedy for gain. So he wasn't
greedy.
Yeah. So that's not something that you're necessarily given in Numbers. But Balaam knew it. And you can tell that by Balaam's response when the angel finally stops him. Balaam doesn't say, but you said I could go.
Yeah.
Balaam knows exactly what God was talking about.
Yeah, he did.
So, yeah, the New Testament was really helpful for shedding light on what to make of this story that at first glance can be confusing.
Yeah, that's really good. And let's see, where is the 6:24? Just a good blessing. I love the Numbers blessing, but they call it Aaron's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's just something I love.
Yeah, I love that one too. Yeah, I think that kind of goes along with what I wanted to share at the end of 1 Corinthians 6, where it's talking about how to use your body for the Lord and to flee fornication, because that's not for the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I've loved the reading challenge so much because I have these verses at my fingertips that I can talk with it with my children. So I was just doing my girl's hair this morning, getting her ready for school. And I said, you're bought with a price. You belong to the Lord. And just that blessing too. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. You know, we're very beloved by God. And I love those reminders.
Those verses, yeah. Mm-hmm. I always love, he will never forsake you. He will never leave you.
Right.
You know, no matter what. So, anything else, ladies?
I noticed with Numbers this time around, growing up and reading the Bible, after Genesis, I guess, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were always hard for me because it just felt like we were constantly talking about who brought what offering and how many times. This time it really stood out to me in Numbers that there's a lot more going on in the book. And even though it's called Numbers, it's not, like, this is basically the narrative of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness and rebellion after rebellion. The Balaam story's in there.
Right.
And so these books are not fairly, I think, characterized as just boring things full of numbers. Like, this is the story of the Israelites wandering in those first few books. Stick with it.
And sometimes we have that in our lives. We refer to certain points in our life as a family. These are our wilderness wanderings, where we went somewhere, we're like, why are we here? We were there for 20 months, and then we came here. We're like, okay, Lord, but you had to take us there before we could see that we had to go here.
Right.
And all those people had to die, and I feel like that was 40 years of people dying. Rough stuff. Yeah. Well, good to be with you this morning, everybody. Have a good day. Hang in there. Keep with it. If you're reading with us today, you're not behind.